Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, church.
Good morning, Pastor.
Yes, last Sabbath, I was listening to the service. Many, many thousands of miles from here. It is amazing, like my brother Joseph was saying, you know, when you have a family, no matter how far you are, you want to still to be connected. And I know that those are visiting us have that sense of connection with us too.
Amen.
And we appreciate that very much. Some of you did not travel thousands of miles, but some of you came from where I was last week. Right, Brother Malcolm and Sister Vivian? Thank you so much for being here. It's so wonderful to see Sister Hannah here with us again. All right. And the Samuels, the ladies didn't come, just the boys, right? Today we have all, and I haven't seen the Professor Samuels here for a while. You know that the older son now is a professor, a teacher. And I know that he's doing very well. And we are very blessed that they chose to be here. Mama Burden is here with us. Tell us your first name, sister.
Beverly.
Beverly Burden is here with us. So you can see Brother James today, he's... He smiles like a big smile. He always smiles, but today is even more because Mom is here. We also are very blessed. This little one is here with us too. So nice to see you. And the whole church family is praying for your complete recovery. Okay, we'll continue praying. The Lord, we serve a Lord that is a Lord of miracles. Okay, so hang in tight. Okay, we are so glad to have my sister here to play the piano for us too. Thank you so much. It's a gift that you are here to assist us with the service. We have a family that, as a pastor, I don't like to say this to when somebody visits us. I try to be ethical, not to ask the person to join our church because we don't want to steal sheep from all the pastures. I don't think it's fair. But when somebody comes 1 week and then they come another week, and then they come another week, you cannot blame us to ask you to stay. Because we are very, very blessed that the Gamboa family is here, have been here for quite a while with us. We're getting used to the family. So please, we have in our bulletin quite a few people that had birthdays before and already this month. And how many of you here really, 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 you can confess, really, really enjoy your birthday? Believe me, the other option is terrible. If you don't enjoy it, then you can kick the bucket, and then you see that we all enjoy our birthday. And especially when somebody take the time and to express that to us. Why do we celebrate birthdays? Why we celebrate birthdays? Is it about we, or is it about something deeper that we celebrate birthday? When we celebrate birthday, we are telling God, thank you for being gracious to us that we have one extra year of life. Very sadly, many people don't use the birthday opportunity to understand that what you're celebrating is the fact that God has been gracious to you and is continuing increasing your life. Life is the greatest gift. So we put the title of the sermon for this week, The Pilot of My Ship. How many of you here like to travel? Sometimes, right? Depends how you travel. We went for a trip. Somebody took us to the airport, and then from the airport we got into one flight, and then went to Denver. Then we had to wait for a little bit. Then we entered another airplane, and we went to all the way to Silver Springs, Maryland. We got there. There was somebody in the airport waiting for us to pick us up and take us to the hotel. The same way we came back. We came back from Baltimore. We went to Chicago. And from there, we came to San Diego. We took 4 ships. If you count the cars and everything else, that's a total of 8. I'm going to be talking to you, and I hope you travel with me. I'm going to invite you to go with a trip. And this trip, we need to go to 7 ships. At least 7. Because it's 7, we won't be able to finish today. So we decide to have this message in 2 parts. If you are here today, you need to arrive. So you need to come back next week to have the rest of the ships. Okay? So here we will go. As I said, today's message is entitled, The Pilot of My Ship. Ship here could be also ships, but it is the pilot of my ship. This my here, I hope that you make it yours, okay? Basic elements in the biblical creation. The trip is, I would like to call the trip from light to light. The destination where you start and where you end is basically the same, from light to light. That's our trip. In the beginning, that is a statement when. God is a statement of who created how the heavens and the earth, and that includes you and I, what. So let's go in a short journey as we go through the book of Genesis. When, who, how, and what. It's very important when you study the first chapter of Genesis, you understand those elements because they are essential for you to understand why you are here. The heavens declare the glory of God, of course, and the skies announce what His hands has made. Again, that includes you and I. Don't forget, but also includes everything else that God put under our care. It is very important for understanding that that's the reason why we are here today. Now the next is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is the first expression. When we read this in the Bible, people understand that this is just an introduction. The real creation starts in verse 2. That's when it starts counting what happened. The earth was without shape and form. What it means without shape and form? If you have something that has no shape and no form, basically you have nothing. It's a void. It's like there's nothing there. And so I put this circle just to symbolize there was nothing there. And then it says, it was dark over the deep sea. And then it continued by saying, and God's winds swept over the waters. Some version says the Spirit of God. But original actually is talking about the breath. And because God was speaking, and God was present, and so that's what happens. And then he says, God said, and the word in the Hebrew is bara, when God creates something out of nothing. For those that believe in evolution, wants to always give that thought that a God, in order to create something, he has to have something else, and that something else comes from somebody else, but not God. No, God is not just a factory that takes raw material, and builds something. No, He creates everything out of nothing. So God said, the Word speaks and creates. He said, let there be light, and so light appeared. Now, I'd like to call your attention to something that may some of you know, haven't thought about. When says the light appeared, who is the source of light? The Bible says God is light. So when it says light appeared, it's basically saying God made himself present. And because he's present, light is present. And so that's how light came to be. Present in the place was void, was without form, empty, dark, and he became there. He came. God saw how good the light was. Why did God say the light was good? Anyone? Why does God say the light is good? Because God is good and God is light. Therefore, the good here also implies that the good in order to sustain everything. So he says, so God separated the light from the darkness. Now imagine God here, this new creation here, the light and the shadow. So the shadow he called night, and the part with reflection, his glory, light, he called day. It says, God named the light day, and the darkness he named night. There was evening, and there was morning, the first day. 24 hours. But there's the sun was not there yet. Have you ever thought about this? Because sometimes we associate the 24-hour period because we see the sun, sunlight, you know, we think about this. And even when he creates the sun, he says that it was to determine the seasons, everything else. So God determined the 24 hours even before the sun was created. That's important for us to notice also. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. We will be reading this, then we will start another, bring some other points for everyone. Then God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Now you see in the bottom a little indication of that. That's all the second day. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Another 24 hours before the sun was created. And God called the dry land and earth and the gathering together of the waters, he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Why was good? Why God keeps saying the light is good? What he's doing is good. Why? Because all that he's creating is part of what himself.
Amen.
He's put himself into his creation. He's speaking his creation to being. Now next he says, then he commanded, let the earth produce. This is very important for you to notice, please. He commanded the earth to produce all kinds of plants. Later on you see that he commanded the animals. He commanded the human beings. He's commanded everything that he created. He commanded because he had a purpose. Everything is being created with a purpose. Only humans sometimes, even though we have the ability to for discernment, sometimes we live a life without much purpose. It's said that the only part of creation is supposed to understand purpose. Sometimes we are negligent with that part. It says, let the earth produce kinds of plants, those that bear grain and those that bear fruit. Why did God create a plant with a seed? So that the plant can help God in the process of creation as well. Notice that God not only creates something, but immediately he got them involved in the creation process. And that was not just humans. The animals, the plants, everything, the earth, everything that God created was in a profound relationship of creation with the Creator. Every single one. And then it says, so the earth produced all kinds, so the earth obeyed. And the earth started getting busy right away, and it started to produce. And then it says, he was pleased with what he saw. Evening passed, morning came, that was the third day. In this version here, it doesn't say it was good, but all the versions says, and he noticed that it was good. Then God said, let there be lights. Remember in the beginning, he says, let there be light. But now he says, let there be lights. To separate day from the night, these lights will be used for signs, seasons, days, and years. Everything that God created, he created them to work. Somebody don't like this kind of the word work. Sometimes we are raising now children that they look like they have an obligation to be lazy. It looks like a determination. They do it gusto. We have, sadly, we see, sometimes we drive by in some places, we see people very healthy. I says, can you imagine if all these people with all those muscles, all those, that energy could have been employed to produce something? But we are in a society that our children are being trained to consume instead of to produce. And you know what happens when we consume more than we produce? That's the word poverty comes from. There are some cases that are people poor because of all the facts of life. I'm not saying that everybody who is poor is because they do not use or use their ability to produce. What I'm trying to say is that every human being is an element that should be used to produce something. We all should be producers, not only consumers. And that was the intent that God has created us to produce. And by the way, there is so much joy when we produce, when we consume. The Bible does say that those that labor, you know, they enjoy their labor. And believe me, when you get your check after a very hard work and you receive your check, you feel the pleasure of being a producer. Somebody who produce. Now, it says they will be in the sky to give. And notice there, to give. They have a purpose. They are not there just to make us look, to the skies look beautiful. Everything that God created has a purpose. And that is especially you. And it says, so God made the two large lights, at least large for us here. You know? If you travel through the space, you're going to see that Earth, I don't know, it can be even depressing. I don't know how many of you have take the time to look the size of the planets and then compare with the Earth. When we look the moon, then we look all the planets. The moon is not a planet, you know what I mean. And when you start looking in the proportion, little by little, the Earth is like this, and then it becomes like this, it comes like this. And by the time you get to fourth or fifth planet, the Earth basically disappeared. Now, I look at that, believe me, I felt something terrible inside of me. I said, wow, how depressing, because if the Earth disappeared, imagine me on the Earth. And now I can think that I'm somebody. When we look at the perspective of size of things that God has created, it is only His enormous grace that even take the time to look at us. How, you know, we are smaller than just a microbe. You know, we are like nothing. But His grace made us at His image. He made the brighter light to rule the day, and He made the smaller to rule the night. He also made the stars. Can you imagine? I don't know how many of you have driven to the desert. Here in the city, we don't have skies during the night. We just have this thing that it's very hard to see anything there. But when you go to the desert, it looks like a welcome carpet. You know, some lights, it's beautiful. Look, the sky is gorgeous. God put all this in the sky to shine on the earth. It's all there to shine on the earth. And by the way, God put you here also to shine in the earth. Amen. You are, the Bible does call us lights, because light has created us. And remember the trip, where we come from? We come from light. And where we are going?
Light.
To light. It is from light to light. If for some reason you miss your point, you all of us comes from light, but sadly, not all of us are going to get the same light. Some of us at the end are going to get light, and some people will get lightning. So he says, yes, Evening passed and morning came. This was the fourth day. Now, I don't know if you noticed so far. If you look carefully, you notice that every single thing that God is creating has a sequence. This was created, and this was created, and need this. This was created, and need the two. And there is a triple connection of everything that God is creating. You see the order that God created, there is a relationship of things. And God said, the water will be with living things. And then there was fish everywhere and animals at the sea. Now, everything that lives in the sea has a purpose. And the purpose that they live is also affected. And then he says, verse 1, God made the big animals that live in the sea, some verses, monsters. And every living thing that moves throughout the waters by its kind, every winged bird after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Because it was created by a good God for a good purpose. That's why it's good. And God blessed them. God blessed everything that he created. Fruitful and multiply. Again, the same thing with the plants, same thing with the animals. Multiply, multiply. God did not give us a world filled with everything. He asked us to work, to help him in the process. The animals, the human beings, the same commandment that he gave to the plants to multiply, he gave to the animals to multiply, he gives to us to multiply. And the purpose is to fill the earth. Pay attention to that. Fill the earth. Fill the waters. Finish the work. And God, that was the fifth day. And then came this. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind. The earth brought the plants, now the animals as well. And then it says, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to his kind, a cow according to its kind, a cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Here is a point that I'd like to call. Everything that God created before he creates humans, it was not created for humans. Sometimes we have the assumption that everything was created was because of us. We are just part of God's creation. We are not the lords of God's creation. Everything that God created has a purpose to coexist, to glorify him. No one in God's creation is better than anybody else. Not among humans. We are not better than animals that we have the right to mistreat them. We're not better than the plants that we have the right to mistreat them. We are called to be good stewards of God's creation. Everything that we do must show God's intent for why we are here. It says this, then God said, let us make humans, human beings, in our image and likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the tame animals, over the earth, over everything that he created. Now, some people use this word rule, think that let them govern. But the word govern, to rule here, it means let them be a servant, let them take care, watch over. God gave us the brain for us to help God to help creation, give all the animals and all the planet a chance to live in harmony. And God created human beings in his image, and the image of God, he created them. He created them male and female. Now, I put that information up there. 37.2 trillion cells. Some people may say to you, that came by accident. Inside of me, there are 37.2 trillion cells, and they're all working together. Do you know what the word that comes to our mind? Let me come with the next one here. It says, God blessed them and said the same thing, be fruitful. The same thing he told the animals, same thing he expects for the plants. And it says also in verse 28, God blessed them. The same expression, God blessed the animals and told them to multiply to the earth. Ask the human beings to do the same. Now, I want to for you to open your Bibles, please. This it won't be in the screen, so please open your Bibles. When we read chapter 1 of Genesis, we assume something that is not there in chapter 1, but is in the chapter 2. When God created human beings, chapter 2 tells me that he created a male human. And then God paused for, I don't know how long, a few seconds, a few minutes, an hour, I don't know. It says that God paused enough to give man, the male, the human, an opportunity to desire something. In a few seconds, as he looked at creation, he realized, I need a companion. You find that in verse 24 of chapter 2. Verse 18. It says, the Lord God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helper. Now notice that God said, it is good. It is good. It is good. It is good. And one moment God said, it's not good. The only time he said it's not good is when he says, man needs a companion, a helper, somebody to be like him. So now I'd like to say to you, and as we continue here, let me just go to the next. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you create all things, and by your will they exist and were created. This is Revelation. And I chose this in Revelation because, you know, it's from light to light. It's from Genesis to Revelation. The message is still the same. You know, in Genesis, the begins everything. Some people think that Revelation is the end of everything. No. Revelation, it is the new beginning of everything. So in other words, in God, everything is like a circle. There's no beginning or no end. And I'll give more detail about this, the second part of our message. The first day, and then there was the second day, and then there was the third day, and the fourth day, and the fifth day, the birds, we need the birds there, and then the sixth day. What does this all show to us as you read carefully in the Bible? One particular word. That is the first ship that we must get on board. Okay? Without getting to this one, you're not going to get into any other one. So the first ship that we must get on board, it is relationship. And I went through the whole chapter 1 of Genesis for you to see that God is talking about every single aspect of his creation. It's about relationship. Relationship among ourselves with the world where we created, relationship with the divine. He says it is important. It's a key element of existence, of life, is relationship. Now, the sales that we talked about, the 37.2 trillion sales that we have inside, if you go and talk to a scientist, you'll be amazed the relationship that those cells have with each other. You are to sustain life in us. It's something that beyond, you know, when somebody says, I don't believe in God, say, okay, it sounds kind of impossible, but some people do believe that they don't believe in God. And yet they go and believe in something that is more difficult. It's more difficult to believe that there's no God than to believe there is a God. Because by nature, we are born to be social. In other words, all seven ships that we're going to discuss with you this Sabbath and next Sabbath, they are all elements essential on the DNA of every human being. We are born, everybody knows, even those that do not believe in God, claim not to believe in God, they say, we humans are a social being. We are born to be social. We are born to relate. We cannot exist without relating to something, to someone. Some people have a dog to satisfy their need of relationship. Some people treat their dogs better than they can treat anybody, even their spouses. Some people don't like just to have a dog. They have a two. And then three. We have seen cases that people have like 10 dogs. And you can imagine how wonderful their house might look like. And so some, we are desperate for relationship. When people call us, it's hi. You'll be amazed we are in a car. And why do we have a radio in a car? Because we need to relate. We're constantly relating. When we see signs, when we see another human being, a picture of another human being, when we hear a human voice, we are born to relate. So the first ship that all of us, if we want or not, we are on board, is relationship. But you know, a lot of people jump ship. There are a lot of people that have a hard time stay in a relationship. There are people that are very destructive, have a very destructive behavior, and yet we do need a relationship, no matter what. Now, the next step that we also discuss in chapter 1, it is companionship. Remember, the man said, something is missing. Everyone has a partner, has somebody, I don't. So he decided that I need a companionship, a ship that he wants to get on board. I need a companionship. So what God did, God told him, go to sleep. Because when I created the rest of the world, you are not here. Now you go to sleep. He went to sleep. God went, took part of him. I don't know how many of you have thought about God got from he, the human, all the DNA. And he used the DNA to create just like a twin for, let's call him Adam. Now, later on, the name Adam was given to both of them, but to the man. Now, God asked man to wake up. Man woke up, and behold, he saw the image of God. What are you saying, Pastor? I hope you haven't forgot Genesis 1:26-27. Let us make humans in our own image. And remember, at that time there was no mirror in front of Adam, so he could not see anything but what he saw. What we call it on Eve. He saw the image of God reflect. It looks like him. Now, he was happy that she has a different curves than him. And that's what he said, whoa, man, when he saw her. Let me say this, brothers and sisters. The Bible says that we all need a companionship. Not only we need relationship, but we need also companionship. By nature, we cannot live alone. We need to relate, and we need a companionship. We need to labor, and we need. So it was every single thing in nature show companionship. Next, friendship. How can you relate? How can you have a companion? And how can you not sustain friendship? Friendship is a kind of natural, God-given love that we feel for each other. If you have a spouse, I hope she or he is your best friend. Because there's nothing better in life than to get on board of this ship. This ship rides, it's like you know those big ships that the people spend a lot of money to be inside of them? A cruise ship. A vacation. This is the ship that you must get on board. Everybody needs to be on board this one. And then, of course, you see the relationship, the friendship in nature as God created everything with a purpose, everything to be together. Now, this is the last one for today. Stewardship. What is stewardship? Every time we talk about the stewardship, it says, there go the pastor. He's going to talk about tithe. Tithe is just one aspect of stewardship. Stewardship, the biggest lesson that we must know about stewardship is the gift of life. What do you do with your life? How do you relate to other lives that God, other companion, other people that you relate to? Stewardship is how do you minister all the grace that God has shown to you? How do you use them? How do you benefit from them? How do you apply them? God told the animals to do something. God told the plants to do something. God told us to do something. Everybody is to work because He says, I created, but I want you to share with me. He wants you to govern, to be good stewards of it. So when you receive a check, when you receive a job, when you receive a compliment, when you receive a gift, when you receive the ability to breathe the air, when you receive the gift to be able to stand up and walk, when you have the gift to talk, when you look in your hands and all the fingers are still there, when you walk and you see I still can move, I want you to remember this word, this ship. It's all a gift of the Almighty. Don't neglect to be thankful. Because those that are not thankful, usually they end up with remorse. It's better for you to have faith, to have hope, than to have anxiety. Because you do not know who you serve. Brothers and sisters, I hope so far we are all in the same ship. Relationship to companionship to friendship and to stewardship. Invest in your friendships. Invest on your companions. Invest on your relationships. Especially the ones who connect you from light to light. Amen. Life is meaningless unless you stay on the ship. Amen. Don't jump ship. Next week, by God's grace, we'll continue with the conclusion. I have some few things that we have by the grace of God developed about the Sabbath, that in conclusion will be something that very unique. We already shared with you here about Abba, but revisiting that topic, we found few extra things that we like to share with you about the mystery of the word Abba in the heart of the Sabbath. Next Sabbath. This is not a commercial. It's just a reminder to you that I hope you don't miss next Sabbath.
Amen.
Let's stand up and sing. I know I kept you a little longer, but you know what? It's so hot out there that you're going to be glad that you stayed here a little longer.